Extend Christian greetings to each one present this morning. We count it a privilege of gathering in God's house. We count it a privilege to have God's word in our possession this morning. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. We bring you greetings from the Mount Joy congregation. As I was thinking of a message for this morning, I guess I didn't look at the Sunday school lesson. But it kind of ties in with the Sunday school lesson. How many of you men would admire Paul? Okay, how many of you men would be willing to be Paul? What's wrong? Where's your hands? I think your heart's there. But you know, we're a little reluctant to say that. But what about being the one who God knocks on his heart's door and he says, Saul is down there and he is blinded. He's waiting for the evangelist to show up. Would you rather be that man? I like my comfort zone. And it's not up here. This morning we want to talk about a simple subject, but it's vital. I had to think of that in our Sunday school lesson. Christian courage. What's courage? Well, we think courage is the one who, that bold, outspoken person. But the definition that I have for courage this morning is the moral strength that helps a person face danger, face pain or difficulty, calmly and with the assurance that he will receive the needed strength for the situation at hand and also the coming days. I don't know where any of you are at in your life this morning, your journey in life. Maybe you're on the mountaintop, maybe you're in the valley, maybe you're going up and you're going down. You know, we think the valley is so hard. We think crawling the mountain is so hard. But have you ever been into some foreign countries? I remember one time in Guatemala, we were walking down the mountain, and I used to think that would be easy, but you know, walking down the mountain for a long time became very tiring to hold yourself back. Seem to take about as much effort as it does to crawl sometimes. It takes courage to care. It takes strength to sympathize. Courage is not something always large, something small. To wisely and discreetly live one out one's convictions takes courage. Courage is consistent, see, under difficult situations and unfortunate situations. It takes courage to speak. And it takes courage to listen. But you know, we find rest in courage when we connect to God's hand and we say, fully surrender, Lord divine. I will be true to thee. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 27. For a scripture reading this morning, this courage we're talking about this morning does not make any sense to the carnal man, because the courage we're talking about this morning is putting our selfish will, our selfish ambition, our selfish thinking patterns, our personal agendas, putting it all under the cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we call courage this morning. It to stand up and to speak takes courage. But we get that courage from the connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some situations here in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know for sure who wrote this, but it was seemingly would be David. But my mind goes back when I read that verse of this young little lad that was standing there before a great big man. And Saul came and said, you know, you need to put this armor on because that man is big. He's dangerous. And David said, Mike, that's not proven. Behind that big man, I see a big God. And he reached down in his bag and he got his sling and he slung that stone and that big Goliath came tumbling down. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He writes years later. This young lad learned to know Jesus Christ. He learned to know God, we say in the Old Testament. Today, you and I, what do we see? Do we see a big God or do we see a big situation? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I love these word pictures here. We get overcome, we get intimidated by this simple thing we call peer pressure. What will people think? What will my friends think? Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me. Now the next phrase there is, maybe the rest of you can all say you agree with it. I agree with it, but I can't say I always feel that way. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. You ever get rapid heartbeat? I do sometimes. But he's not talking about my physical heart. He's talking about my innermost being and that connection with God. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I love that verse. There's another verse in Psalms that said, it goes something like this, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. I think of that this morning in the Sunday school hour, the devotional, and our the church services as a whole. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now we can take this literally. We're not talking about staying in church here all your life, in this physical building. But we're saying being connected and being part of the family of God all the days of my life. I think life has been easy for us as far as persecution and all those things for many years. I've wondered already myself, would I be willing to stand up and preach if I would think that I would be led to prison? I would be executed. Would I be willing to do that? We haven't faced that. I remember as a young boy going and listening to someone who's going behind the Iron Curtain from our community and relating the stories of the danger they went through to gather together. You're sitting on padded pews this morning. It's a blessing. It's so nice. It's climate controlled. We're not fearful. Are we enjoying church life? I trust you are. Are you enjoying your walk with God? I trust you are. And if you're not, I plead that you would find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The world is full of hurting people. And those hurting people should not be in our congregations because the Prince of Peace is there. Jesus is reaching out and he wants to help you. In verse 5, he says, from the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. You want a storm shelter? Right here it is. People spend a lot of money and put forth a lot of effort to be protected in the natural storm. But here we are as brothers and sisters. How often do you come to church? Is it whatever services it may be, and maybe you feel a little storm weary. Maybe you feel a little soldier worn. And you come to church and somebody gives a song and all of a sudden those things that you were worrying about and thinking about just kind of floated away. What happened? Exactly the way God planned for it. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, sometimes, naturally speaking, have you ever walked across a muddy lot somewhere and you're trying to find something solid to stand on? You might see a concrete chunk of rock and you stand on that and you walk your way through. Well, you know, sometimes in life, we don't know what to do. We're not sure what the right choice is. Right here is the directions. And every one of you, I believe, has access to at least one. It'd be interesting to know how many Bibles are represented here this morning in our houses. We have them all over. This power that is here, the directions that are here, are of no value unless they're practiced. Too many times, I don't know how you find it as men, but I'm guilty of this. I buy something, and I take it out of the box, and I put it together. And then if I got extra parts, then I read the directions. Kind of revealed myself there a little bit, but that's just the way, you know, after all, it just makes sense. You do this, this, and this. And many times it works, but sometimes there's a plan that wasn't followed, and you got some things that you don't know what to do with. Right here is the plan. If you don't know what to do, read the plan. And if you're trying to figure out what to do, read the plan. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, this plan works 100% of the time. But it's the problem is we as human beings sometimes find it difficult, may I say, just to make it real practical in everyday shoes. Because we're human beings. And yet the plan is there. Finding joy in the midst of stress in verse 6. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Have you ever stopped to think? The millions of people that are in the world today and the volume of Christians that are in the world today, and when you cry to the Lord, you never get the pause button. I know that's a very simplistic thought, but it's very encouraging to my mind. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. I know for myself, it's just a very simplistic thought, but I find enjoyment. I find studying in the wee hours of the morning and praying then. And I know it makes no difference, but in my mind, I've thought already, you know, God isn't quite as busy then because most of the people are sleeping. And it really makes no difference because he's there on call. We are so blessed. When I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is a two-part verse. God is asking this morning, if there's anyone here who's struggling in life, he's saying, seek my face. And he is promising results. Today, you see lots of advertisements, you know, if you do thus, thus, and thus, this will happen. But you know, all those advertisements are pending upon if God allows it or not. But what we have in the Word of God is forever settled in heaven this morning. But are you willing to say, thy face, Lord, will I seek? Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Why does he have that verse in there? We believe that the blessings of a godly heritage, there's many blessings there. But there is something about the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ goes way beyond a parental relationship. Parental relationships are beautiful and they're necessary and they're good. But that healthy parental relationship points their children to God. And children point their parents to God. Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Teach me thy way. I understand sometimes one of the most difficult situations a school teacher faces is trying to create an appetite and an atmosphere that promotes the wanting to learn. Now, I've never been a school teacher, so this is an observation I've made. But I think our Heavenly Father, as our teacher, probably feels that way about us sometimes. If he could just get us to have an appetite. Well, you know, when you don't feel good, naturally speaking, when you're sick, sometimes you don't have an appetite. But I very remember my mother and my companion telling me, you got to eat something. And it's unfortunate. It's very sad. It's very concerning when my natural health puts a wall between me and God. It should draw me to the great physician to help me. And it's not just health. The various tumultuous things that we may face in life should draw us together, but Satan wants to put a gap in there. Teach me thy way, O Lord. You know, we like to, as human beings, we like to see the destination when we start on a trip. You know, we headed for Pennsylvania. We had some other stops on the way, but we had a goal of reaching certain places. But in the Christian life, sometimes we have a goal, which is heaven. And the straight and narrow road we like to think is straight. But God's path that he has for each one of you this morning, he may only reveal from one curve to the next. But he's going to travel with you. And in traveling with God, the timing is extremely important. Because if you want to walk with God, you're going to walk the same pace that he walks. And if you run ahead of God, you're going to run out of directions. And if you run behind, the cloud may become between. Verse 12, deliver me not over into the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know what you're facing this morning, brothers and sisters, and anyone. I don't know what you're facing. But we face the same trials. Those people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ face some of the same trials that we do today. But the difference is, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, it makes the world a difference how we see those trials that we face in life. Wait on the Lord. Depending on your personality, that's the last thing you want to hear, probably especially for young boys, is to sit and wait. We like to have things now. We're living the now age. But here it says in the Word of God, it says, wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting on the Lord, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. So if your heart feels a little weak this morning, if you're feeling a little worn out, if you're feeling a little tired, maybe you're trying to run ahead of God. Or maybe you're not keeping up with God. Because it says he will strengthen thine heart. It's the best heart medicine there is that connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on again and he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes that's so difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult. The courage that has the confidence that God will supply. But as I think of this verse, waiting here, that doesn't mean falling asleep. It's being alert but calmly anticipating directions. You know, sometimes we like to wait because we like to be underneath the shade tree. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. But the question that I like to leave this morning with each one of us, be still and know that I am God. The quietness of the hour. I'd like to look at some examples of courageous people in life. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're only going to pick out a couple here. There was a lot more that could have been, we could point out to. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah. This morning, we all, children, love the Noah story. Children love that building that boat story. They just love that story. We all admire Noah. It says he was a preacher of righteousness. But fathers, this morning, are you willing to be a Noah? Are you willing to call up Shem, Ham, and Japheth and say, today we're going to build the ark? Make sure that workmanship that you're doing is going to be something that follows the plan that God gave me. Make sure you pitch that ark inside and outside, because God is going to send a flood. And the boys say, what, Dad? What's a flood? He says, that's when there's a lot of water. And this, what we are building today, is going to float. And they say, float? We've never seen anything float, because it had never rained. They'd never seen a boat before. Those boys were just like boys are today, I think. Sometimes they wondered, did Dad's dad know what he's talking about? But Dad kept on convincing his boys that this wickedness that's around us, God is going to bring judgment on it. And we need to be building this boat. Today we have a lot of people are thinking, oh yes, we're going to help build the boat. But we're going to build the boat kind of the way we want to build it, in the comforts of our own thinking patterns. Why did God tell Noah to pitch it within and without? There's lots of types that we could learn from there. But one day, after all these years of Noah working with his family, and there's others that helped, I believe, one day, he's there with his sons, and out of the forest, come into the clearing. This is only my imagination. The animals start walking in, and the boys may have said, Dad, is this what you were talking about? Yeah. Shem, you see that? I told you that's what's going to happen. And these animals come in, the vicious one right behind the calm one, or vice versa. And they start walking in and they start filing in. I don't know. This is my own imagination. But Noah was a courageous man for many years building this ark out in dry ground. And people were thinking, we need to send him to a mental institution. There's something wrong with him. But when this starts happening, this is totally out of the ordinary. And then Noah tells his sons, come. Come inside. And they go inside, and all of a sudden that door is shut. What went through those boys' mind? I'm glad we listened to Dad. And they hear this water, thundering, and the water starts raining, and the water fountains of the deep opened up, and they start floating. When did Noah become a man of courage? Back to when he had his first talk with God. Long before he started building the ark. Fathers, this morning, are you building an ark for the saving of your household? Another one we have is going down to verse 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What are you and I looking for this morning? Look at the life of Abraham. He went out. He didn't know where he was going. He followed God. He came from a less than ideal background, but he followed God. When he came to a strife with his nephew, he followed God. It took courage for Abram to step up to Lot and say, hey, there's problems out there in the fields. Let's be men. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. It took courage. They worked out a plan. And we would think that, you know, definitely we need that, you know, we need that Lancaster Lebanon ground if you want to prosper farming. And God gave him the hills. And he blessed him. Maybe that's where Lebanon County got so blessed. It's hills, mountains. Anyways, beside the point. But what I'm trying to say is it took courage to do what God asked him to do. We go on with life. He's asked to offer his son, his only son. We don't read of him being there and trying to have a dialogue with God, seeing we could work something out. It says he rose early the next morning as a man of courage. And his son is walking beside him. We know the story there. Are you and I willing to be an Abraham this morning? There was no way that Abraham could see beyond that physically, offering his only child, that his prosperity is going to be like the sands of the seashore. And yet he obeyed. Yet he was faithful. We have another one in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. We're not going to turn to that necessarily. Well, maybe I will turn to that just to read it. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. But we think of David here. He was a courageous man. But you know, David found himself in a position that I think all people will find themselves in. It's a deliberate choice that we need to make. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. We know the story here. David committed sin. David committed more sins to cover his first sin. And Nathan the prophet came to him and spoke to him and told him. Look at David's response in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed that thou hast given great occasion to enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Friends, this morning, if you ever find yourself estranged from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you find yourself in the position that David was in, be courageous as David was. He said, I have sinned. That takes courage. Human nature wants to reflect on circumstances and surroundings and whatever you want to fill in the gap. But David said, I have sinned. All people come to that crossroad in life. But Nathan told him he's not going to die. But because of this, there's results. Sin always has results. We think of another man. We think today of courageous men or great men, outspoken men. But Moses. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. I'll just read the brief account there. Hebrews chapter 11, begin reading at verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, when the Egyptians essayed to go were drowned. And it continues on. Moses was a courageous man. We admire Moses, but we often think of the courageous man as being Joshua. Which took the most courage? To lead 1 million people for 40 years, or to conquer the city of Jericho? I'm not quite sure which took the most courage. What I'm trying to stimulate here is courage is not just a kind of a highlight in life. Courage is part of life. If we'd put a graph of your life on the wall here of courage and discouragement, I wonder how it would look. I'll have to confess, mine wouldn't be a straight line all the time. But courage gives that straight line, just consistent walking. So Moses led this people, 1 million people, for 40 years. And we know the story. They grumbled, they complained. they said, we wish, just wish we would have never left back there. If I just be back there, I'd be better off. Moses kept on going. But you know, Moses came to a point the one day that, may I say, he was emotionally stressed out. And he responded in the wrong way. And we, even though he knew that he was not going to be able to personally enter the promised land, he kept on leading his people to the promised land. I call that courage. I call that courage. That was a commitment. Even in spite of his mistake, he was willing to do what he could to help others get there. So what is it that breaks down our courage? I think it's there when you read of Noah, it says he was moved with fear. That fear that is talking about there is not that paralyzing fear. It's that fear that it's referencing to of walking carefully, detailed efforts. This morning, in our Christian life, we want fear to help us to walk carefully and circumspectly, paying attention to the details, paying attention to all those fiery darts and those little counterfeits that are being offered. We want to be sensitive to those, but we don't want to have that fear that paralyzes us and says, I can't do it. Because the God we serve is able to help us through. But our connection must be maintained with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, beginning reading at verse 6. This is Moses speaking. He's talking to Joshua. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, personal ownership. He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Do you think the encouragement that Moses was giving in his older years to Joshua as a young leader gave Joshua a lot of courage? I think it did. And for us grandpas and grandmas this morning, let's encourage the rising generation. Fight the fight of faith. And one of those ways is just plain genuine faithfulness. And showing appreciation and recognizing that the potential that is there. Moses here, like I said, he's standing here and he knows he won't be able to enter over there. But he's telling Joshua, thy God will help thee. He's going to be with you. You're going to be able to conquer that land. I don't know what, in my mind, I picture Joshua reflecting back sometimes to these verses here as he went on his journey of life. Let's turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Beautiful verse, beautiful verse. Meditating on the word. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. And he says, God will bless you. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth his snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When we face a decision in life, we have several choices we need to make. We can do what we please, but there's results. We can do what others do, and there's results. And we can do what is right, and there's results. The choice is yours. How are you making choices this morning? Are you courageous? Christian courage is the willingness to quietly say or do the right thing regardless of popular opinion that surrounds us. Courage to do what is right. Youth this morning, I was a young person one time. And sometimes when I was young, I thought, and maybe even as I got a little older, well, I'm just by myself. Nobody might see it. Or maybe I'm with peer pressure, my friends. I'm just not quite ready to stand alone. I want to blend in. I don't want to be called, be odd. And the quietness of the hour may do something that I regret later. I'd like to encourage you young people this morning, do what is right. It doesn't matter if it's night or day. Do what is right. I'd like to turn to another verse. Our verse is in Ezra chapter 8. Sometimes in life we find ourselves in, may I say, in some peculiar situations. We think we done what was right. And then we question ourselves. Maybe this goes more for us as leaders, but we try to give counsel. We try to, maybe you're witnessing to somebody and you're trying to give directions and you find yourself questioning what you said. But this is an interesting verse. Ezra 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right way for us and for our little ones, and now for our substance. Verse 22. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the way, because we had spoken of the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Do you get the picture here? He was saying, we're courageous men, we're doing what's right, this will work out. And all of a sudden, God kind of allowed something to happen. So what did he do? Verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. That takes courage. If you find yourself in a situation like this, just do what Ezra did. Fast and seek the Lord's face, and he will strengthen thine heart. Just roughly going through a couple more in the Old Testament. Daniel knew the signature was there, and he still went and prayed. The three Hebrews knew what was there. They still refused to bow down. The Bible is full of those. We have that Paul and Silas found themselves in prison, and they still sang. It takes courage. If God calls you to go witness to Paul, to Saul, be an Ananias and go. It takes courage. Luke talks about men's hearts failing because of unbelief. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's something that we can be thankful for. A mind that we can think of on him. We have in Samuel, I believe it is, where it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's the best reference I know of personal devotions. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. I love that verse. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter what country I'm at, what time of the day, cold or hot. He says, I will be with thee. Take courage. And in closing, I'd like to turn to Numbers chapter 6. This is my prayer for you. This morning, as you face life, as you face situations in life, God hath not promised sky is always blue, but God hath promised he'll always be with us. Wherever your calling is in life this morning, is it the Sunday school teacher? Is it the school teacher? Is it an office in the church? Is it the trustees or the janitor? Take courage. It's all part of kingdom work. And one of these days, the Lord is coming back for his jewels. Numbers 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is not talking about peace of through strength and power. This is talking of a peaceful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that peaceful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When that peace is going this way, then that peace is flowing out this way. May we be an example. And may God bless you as you continue to serve right here where God has called each one to serve. The mission efforts, the mission field is large, but it starts right here at home. Shall we kneel for prayer?